When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're recording this Wednesday, 3:30. We're going to hop on here and talk just about the Jets and a little bit of the Jets-Bucks game, how the offensive line looked, Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton, a lot of exciting stuff. And 2 minutes before we go on, Corey Davis walks away from football. Kind of a crazy scenario to go into a podcast with. I was expecting to talk a little more Dalvin Cook than Corey Davis. But nonetheless, Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports, NFL, a million other things. He's obviously a Jets fan, very familiar with Charles. How are we doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I was just as thrown off by the Corey Davis retirement news, just as you were. I think it's probably a safe place to start off with. Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Hope everything's good with him, because like we were talking about before we got on, he's 28 years old and just walked away from like 11 plus million dollars. That's not something that's easy to do, I'm sure. So hopefully he's good. But as far as like is concerned for this team, which is what the focus is going to turn back to, I don't know how many people were like expecting. Obviously his offseason attendance has been a little spotty here and there, which probably shows he's actually been considering this for a while. But you know, I think that's definitely a blow to the depth, and we'll see how much it ends up hurting, you know, as the season actually goes on, because you feel good about Lazard, Wilson. I don't know. Like Mecole Hardman, to me, it seems like that's a gadget type of guy, and Randall Cobb is, I mean, he's Randall Cobb. Like he had his heyday, but
he said he was going to retire 24 hours ago on Hard Knocks, and that's Rodgers right. Went to the Jets.
Yep. So we'll see how that's going, but I will say I do think Wilson and Lazard is enough to get you by for a season, for sure, because that should be one of the better 1-2 punches in the league as you know we start to kick things off here.
Yeah, I was going to say obviously everything. I hope everything's okay. It's, you know, we joked about it. You said it, but like, I don't know what I would do. You know, I don't think anyone, it's hard to walk away from $11 million to play football. I'd go out there and get concussed for free probably because I'm sick in the head. So
actually I paid to get concussed.
Yeah. I was going to say, by the back half of my college football career was me paying to go to school and drink a bunch of beers and get concussed. So shatter my leg, but regardless, the interesting thing with the Jets is that Lazard went to the locker room early today from practice from apparently getting banged up. We'll see if it doesn't look like he's anything serious, but again, we have no idea with the Jets. They, with injuries, they like to keep it quite close to the vest. You mentioned the depth. I think at best Corey was wide receiver 3 on this team. And I actually, the couple practices I've been at, you've been in a couple practices, the tight ends are getting like, it's Garrett Wilson, the backs, then the tight ends, then Lazard, then Mecole Hardman and Randall Cobb. It just felt like Corey Davis, I think, not to sound heartless here, but from a Jets perspective, you kind of wish, I guess, this news happened 4 or 5 months ago where you free up another $11 million. You knew you had a hole at receiver. I know this is going to start the Davante Adams and Mike Evans thing. I jokingly already threw out the Mike Evans thing just because I've said for a while he's an expiring deal. Like, if Tampa Bay's smart, they'll trade him at the deadline, unless they're going to extend him and get Caleb Williams. That's a whole nother story. Do you think the Jets need to make a move at receiver? You kind of said it there. Like, they have a pretty solid top two, top three there. Plus, this offense should be kind of around the run game, play action, the backs, the tight ends. It doesn't feel like they necessarily need to go spend $17, $18 million on another receiver, right?
Yeah, not yet. I think this is a situation where get to week one, see what it looks like, see what it feels like. But as of now, you know, look, I tell you, here is a passing offense as Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard. You're going to have Breece Hall in the backfield who, you know, I don't last week when I was there, he was he hadn't like done stuff with full pads yet, but he looked explosive. Certainly, like, he looks like he's running well and things are moving in the right direction for him. You should be able to just kind of like wait and see what happens. Because I think those top two guys, especially with Wilson as your number one, that's enough at least to kind of, at least to hold the passing offense. And if Aaron Rodgers is anywhere close to where he was, you know, in those MVP seasons, then you'll be okay. But, it does get you a little concerned because where I would come to is I don't know if Randall Cobb at this point is something that you really want being a part of, like, your passing game as far as like a real deal third wide receiver. But there are ways to offset that. You know, they've invested a lot into the tight end room over the past two off seasons. You just signed Dalvin Cook. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson. So just hold on, wait. And if you're looking at like week four and you're like, man, we really need some juice, maybe that's when you start looking at a trade. But right now, I think you hold pat and just see how things unroll.
Yeah, plus their draft pick situation is a little wonky as well. Like, they can't really trade either right. First or their second round picks at the moment. Yes, they can go back and negotiate with Green Bay. Green Bay has, there's no, unless they would just automatically give up the one, Green Bay is not going to do that. So you got to mention it there with Aaron Rodgers. It feels like I've seen this, the example, I mean, everyone's talked about this, you know, the comps to Tampa Bay where Brady looked kind of like dog shit a little bit at the end of that last Patriots year. They didn't have a lot of weapons. He didn't seem truly bought in. I think he kind of knew it was over. Seems a lot of, comparisons where Rodgers was not. I know Rodgers has had a lot of, like, things he's, like, said or, like, been more open the last couple of years on McAfee and stuff. But, like, generally speaking on the field, there was never a single question of Rodgers who was going to bring it 100%. And I'm not saying he didn't bring it 100% last year, but it feels like it just was off the whole year. Like, it just didn't feel right. His arm looks just as good as it's ever looked. And, like, I know he's not going to move quite as much as he used to, probably because he doesn't want to get hit because he's 39 years old, and I wouldn't either. Yeah, that said, I just don't, like, I don't see that this decline. Like, he's got all the situations for himself to be good here. The only thing that could happen is the offensive line gets injured. But other than that, like, he should be at least 80-85% of prime Aaron Rodgers. I'm not – is he going to go 48 touchdowns, 5 picks? Like, probably not. That said, if he went 35-10 – in terms of touchdowns and interceptions, like, you wouldn't feel like, oh, that's a, you'd feel pretty confident that that's a realistic goal.
Yeah. I mean, this should be a really good offense, you know? Like, I'm not even that high on Nate Hackett as a play caller, but this is one of those situations where the offense should kind of be able to run itself. And obviously, Aaron is going to have a huge say in how things turn out on offense. I don't know whether that's good or not. Some guys are really good at playing quarterback, but not so great at, like, orchestrating the whole thing. Then you get, like, the best of both worlds of Tom Brady. We'll see what happens with Rodgers on that front. But even with them, you know, there's too much skill. Like, if Breece Hall is healthy and Dalvin Cook can kind of, like, move into that spell role where he's not taking on the brunt of the carries, because I think that's probably what's best for him at this point in his career. The Dalvin signing, I feel like every great running back, they have like a funny money 1,000-yard season right before it turns to shit.
Yeah, that was last year for Dalvin.
That was last year for Dalvin.
Every advanced analytic was garbage, and he still put up like 1,208 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, you even watch him, and it's just like, you know, 0 yards, 0 yards, 1 yard, -1, then there's a 50. And those.
So he's rookie year Saquon, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes. Without like the peak, you know, holy shit, he's like the most athletic person on the field. But you know, Dalvin is your number two pack at this point, and even going down the list, like, Michael Carter is your number three. Izzy as like an athletic, let's see what the hell can happen if we have to put him out here, number four or number five. It's a pretty deep running back room. Your wide receiver combo at the start are about as good as it can get in the league outside of like, you know, a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle. You know, there aren't too many guys where you can say these two guys are top three receiver and we feel like they can go against anyone. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it, but we all know what the pressure point on this offense is. It's not the skill guys. The skill guys are about as good as you'll find across the NFL.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yesterday at practice, again, this is not a padded practice, so I'm just going to – it was a simulated Tuesday game week practice. Anyone that's played any, like, type of level above high school football, even in high school football, you know, like, game week practices are different. That said, Mekhi Becton didn't – it's always felt like it's injuries and just being fully bought in for like 60 or 70 snaps. We still haven't seen that, obviously, because he's played like 20 or 30 snaps. That said, it seems like it's kind of clicked for him where the light switch is back on and he like trusts his body again. There's a play today. He eviscerated Jordan Whitehead and it was just hysterical. Jordan Whitehead's all of like 5'9", 195 pounds. So obviously Mekhi Becton, you know, pancake game is not a big deal. And there's a guy from the Jets practice squad during the game on the other day that he pancaked. Like, again, it's not about the physical ability, but AVT at right guard, you feel as good about that spot as any spot on the roster. If Becton's even 90% of what he was as a rookie, you feel really good there. Connor McGovern's fine. Joe Tippmann will take that job, in my opinion, at least by midseason, because you don't take a center with a top 50 pick if you don't think he's going to play. Left guard Lincoln Tomlinson, can he be average? Can he be league average in terms of – he's not going to play to the contract. That's obviously an albatross of a $17 million in terms of where he's at. But, again, be league average. And Dwayne Brown cleared. I know they were terrible last week and pretty frankly awful in Carolina. That said, do you think people should just pump the brakes a little bit, or is it like, no, this is like – there is some concern here because otherwise this team can't go anywhere unless they get top 20. Yeah, I don't know.
I would be concerned about the tackle spot for sure. I think your interior, you know, if they kind of rip the band-aid off and just put Tippmann in there and say, look, growing pains, we're going to have to eat them, because ceiling wise, like there's no real comparison about who's better. And honestly, dude, Tippmann could be better than McGovern right now. It's not like this is like a world beater center, but I would be concerned about the tackles. One, Dwayne Brown, you're at the point where you could fall off the cliff at any second. You know, he's had a great career. But what I would say about Dwayne Brown is in any way that his performance goes, I don't think you should be shocked. If he's solid and adequate, well, that's what he's been his whole career. If he sucks, well, he's 37 years old. Like, you know, he was drafted like 2008.
Yeah, me and Legere Duzable were talking about this at the combine last year. He's like, he was in my draft class. Legere's been on TV winning Emmys for multiple years now and playing the league for a decade.
Dude, you know what? My association for Dwayne Brown, a lot of it comes back to the head coach 09 game. And they had like the draft class. That had like Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, and Dwayne Brown.
Schefter was still on NFL Network back then.
Dude, yes, yes. That was 2008, okay? He's allowed to be bad if he's bad this year. And I don't think, you know, anyone should be surprised about that. And then with Becton, I've been banging this drum like for the past couple of weeks. I think he's your best tackle, like just straight up. But again, you have like the past year and a half of history to even kind of be skeptical about that, even though like he looks like he's actually taking this shit seriously this offseason. He looks a lot slimmer than last year. Slimmer, you know.
Yeah. Still 360.
It's funny because I was laughing with someone. I was like, dude, he's in great shape and he's like 350 pounds. It's unbelievable. But the way that he's playing against Tampa Bay, I think the way he's looked in practice, when your offensive line is, you know, shaky, I guess dice rolls are the way to go when you have so much at stake for this season. So yeah, Mekhi, maybe he doesn't play the whole season, but I know week one he's your best bet at right tackle. And then I think what's concerning to me is your starting situation feels a little, you know, I guess I already said shaky, but I'll use it again. Your starting situation feels a little shaky. I think you should be able to pass by with those guys if they can stay on the field. But we've already seen what's behind them. you know.
I was just gonna say that's the scariest thing.
That's the scary part.
And like, look, it's not trying to beat up on Billy Turner. The reason Billy Turner's a swing tackle at this point in his career is because he's not consistent, right? He has one set of plays where you're like, all right, that's not terrible, and then the next set of plays you're like, dude, you just got beat four straight times. Like, that was really bad. That's what happens. There's the Brandon Shells of the world. Like, these guys have cycled through for a long time. It's just depth on their interior is so solid. Like, I feel like they have five or six guys that could start in terms of have started games in the NFL. You'd feel okay with them playing in a role. Even the Tristan Colones, the West Schweitzers of the world. Like, they've played. Tristan Colone was in Baltimore. He's played and filled in games there. Like, they'll be okay there. It's the tackle spots. And it's not as much as Zach was awful with manipulating the pocket. He was athletic enough where if the tackle spot was bad, you'd assume he could run. It's not that Rodgers can't run. You just don't want him running because that's more likely he's going to pull a calf. He's going to get injured. Like, that's what happens to these older guys.
And he might not run, you know?
Yeah, he also might not. He might just be like, I have less guaranteed money than I used to. I got to play a little longer than
I'm going down.
Yeah. So I want to flip to the other side of the ball quickly. The only issue I would point to with the Jets defense at all, and I actually feel like there's really very little. Tony Adams has been, you ask anyone that was the staff the last 18 months, I've been banging this drum for a while. They love Tony Adams, and he looks awesome. He does not stop talking. And like that to me is a young guy who's like, I know I belong here now. Like he didn't last year, I don't know, during camp when you're a UDFA, you're just walking into a starting role and you earn it. And like you're chatting like that. Like that to me means he gets it. The two issues I have is just, are they going to stay healthy enough on defense? And it's not about the defensive line really. Although Quinnen has to play. Like he's the one guy that you can't really replace. CJ Mosley has to play 17 games again. Like that's the one spot where behind him, like Chaz Surratt's a cool athlete. I know Sala loves him, but like if Chaz Surratt and Quincy Williams are your middle linebackers, it's going to be a lot of boom and bust. Like it's going to be like some games where they look awesome, some games where they get put in a blender. It just, you're relying really heavily on, they didn't get injured last year. And Carl Lawson's back doesn't really look right. Like the way he was running last week was a little scary. I know he's said he's working his way back. Again, edge is not a problem. Like, oh, God forbid you have to play Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huffmore. Like, it'll be okay. Are you worried at all about the defense? Because like elite secondary, elite defensive line, they have an all-pro middle linebacker. Like they should be very, very good.
Yeah. There's nothing really like this. There's not really any holes. Maybe like you could complain a smidge about defensive tackle depth, but even that is pretty nipping because you can get away with like putting Solomon in there. Even someone like Tanzel Smart, you can plug him in for Charcucci, the Charcucci board. I don't really see a hole on this defense unless the Tony Adams thing doesn't work out and it just turns out, okay, maybe a great practice player has turned out he's a great regular season player. Or like you said, if CJ Mosley gets hurt, because I think Quincy Williams is a great player, but I also think sometimes he kind of needs like big brother on the field for lack of
a better term. Always needs big brother on the field. A lot of CJ Mosley, you're going to go here. Run like right. A missile.
Yeah, because Quincy's one of those guys where if you can get him in the right spot and he knows what's coming, he can knock the shit out of someone. But, I don't know if he's going to be the guy that's green dot organizing everything and getting people all set up and in the right spot. But think of what we're talking about. Like a free safety defensive tackle depth maybe, and what if CJ Mosley gets hurt? Like, these aren't really tangible things to actually be concerned about, and unless there's just either like a catastrophic injury or someone figures out how to neutralize a pass rush, I don't really see why there's any reason to be doubtful of what this Jets defense can do. I mean, if I was a Jets fan, I think the expectation should be we should have a top five defense this year. Yeah. And we got skilled players on offense. Like it's easy to see why people are really excited about this team. And if I was a Jets fan, I would just be hanging on to roll the dice with Becton, put him out there, and hopefully Dwayne Brown can stay on his feet, because Those are really the only problems that I see that could ruin a year like this.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. Like the Jets team you covered talent wise was a slightly different than the one that we're looking at now.
Yeah, the entire defense built around Jamal Adams.
Yeah, Jamal Adams stat padding against and a 2-14 season was truly something special. And then sitting out the Bengals game with a bruised ankle, that was hysterical. Regardless, looking at last couple of things here, we're looking at this division. I feel like people either think Buffalo is by far the class of the division, or they think the Jets or the Dolphins are going to win. Like, there's not a lot of people that are like, Buffalo's like, everyone's going to catch up to Buffalo, but they're still going to win. Like, the discourse around the Bills is they're going to go 13-4 again. The Jets in Miami, or there's too many questions still. Or people are like, oh, Miami's awesome. Tua's going to stay healthy. No one can stop Waddle and Tyreek. Or like we just talked about, the Jets, great defense, Ray Rodgers, et cetera. It just feels like it's a three-team division. And again, it's ridiculous to always count out the Patriots. Their roster is not very good. And Mac Jones, I don't think he's that great. So that's kind of where I land on that. But am I crazy?
The only thing with the Patriots that would get me a little worried is – like, they will have the defensive line to just kind of slug it out and make a game ugly. You know, like, I don't think they'll be scoring a whole lot of points this year, just because I'm not really a believer in the talent they've assembled. But that defensive front is going to be nasty. And that's, like, the one Achilles heel, I think, where if you're looking at just a straight matchup, like, I would still expect to win, but it might be a little tougher than we were expecting coming to the game.
Arguably the three biggest questions in this division outside of Tua's head is all three of these offensive lines in Buffalo. Their offensive line was terrible the other night against Pittsburgh. Again, Pittsburgh has great pass rush since the preseason, but like there's a Josh Allen play that if I was Sean McDermott, I would have choked Josh Allen out if he's running around trying to be like a superhero. Yeah. Like, what are you doing after all offseason saying how you're not going to do that anymore? And then Miami, like Teron Armstead doesn't play, that offensive line sucks. Like, I don't know how it's like, we've seen it year over year now. He's an incredible player. If you get more than 12 games out of him, you feel really good. And we talked about the Jets, right? Like, it just feels like it's whoever's offensive line sucks the least of those three, like, probably wins the division. I know it sounds just crazy to say that, but like, they feel kind of even. And if the Jets' offensive line stays healthy, they can probably win the division. If Buffalo's off, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I keep coming back to this. It's trenches, and it's really all these four great defensive lines. The offensive lines, though, another story.
Yeah, and it's just – and really for the Jets, I feel like their pass blocking, it just needs to, like, not be a catastrophe.
Don't suck.
Don't suck. You don't have to be great, but you can't be, like, the bottom five. Even a top 22 offensive line. Like, if I can say we were just firmly below average, not terrible, not average, but just slightly below average – I think you probably have like a top eight offense like at worst that year. I think that's right, because the Dolphins, they've tried. I mean, it's crazy. Like, they've really tried a million different ways to try and build an offensive line. They've invested draft picks. They've invested free agency money. And the only hit they've really gotten is Teron Armstead. Connor Williams is like an okay center, but everyone else on that line is, you know, you're kind of trying to figure stuff out. I think when you start getting to the divisional games, and we'll see week one, Monday Night Football, Jets Bills, that's going to be a test, because the Jets defensive line, I mean, I'm just looking at their Our Lads page where you can see the depth charts. Like, their edge depth is stupid.
It's weird. Will McDonald's third stringer, like, and he's looked incredible. Like, he's giving everyone problems. It's crazy. Right.
Bryce Huff listed as a third stringer, but he might be like the best pure, like, designated pass rusher in the league. And even then, you're talking about guys like Solomon Thomas who could play out there, you know, especially like on
rundowns. Quinn Jefferson's like the ninth most like heralded defensive lineman on their team. He had 5.5 sacks as a sub package three tech last year. Like, it's really insane. Crazy when you look at it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it just goes back to like the philosophy that Sol has always played with. And I know the coaches I love playing with as defensive linemen always had, you know, we're going to try to have a bunch of guys so you guys can come in and out of the game and stay fresh. And I think that's where you start to see the impact in depth on a scheme like this one, where if you were going to cut guys loose and just let them go play and run like rabid dogs up the field, then you got to give them a break too every once in a while. So like that depth becomes important as you start running through the season. But I mean, just in terms of defensive line talent, it's hard to think of a team that has built this up. Then you know, if we're just talking about week one, on the flip side, here comes Von Miller and Ed Oliver, who just got a new deal. And I know that they have some younger guys that they're trying to develop as well. So we'll see where they're at week one. I think that's actually going to be a pretty fun game. If you like watching defensive lines kind of take over a game every once in a while, I think that that might be a fun one week one.
Yeah, I'm fully in agreement. It's crazy. I mean, we were both in the combine. I met Von Miller at the combine. I was like, that looks like absurdly healthy for 2 months post ACL. Like, he still looks like he's in insane shape. Last couple of things here. One, the other news of the day, obviously, Sam Darnold's in the backup. Trey Lance is the third stringer. That's kind of – it doesn't really feel like big news because it's kind of feel like all offseason, all the reporting from, like, Rapp and Schefter's been, Sam Darnold's, like, got a better shot to start than be a third stringer. Is it too harsh to say to Lance, like, where do you land on that pick? Because I know there's the – Zach and him back-to-back is going to be go down as, like, just outrageously – brutal of both for both teams. In the same aspect, the Jets end up with Aaron Rodgers out of it, and the Niners still made it to an NFC title game. Yeah. Like, is it crazy to think like this, as much as it's a bust, right? Because he's played 8 total games and barely thrown any passes since high school. I don't know, they give a bunch of picks, and I know he sucked when he's, you know, in a lot of these preseason games, but they haven't even needed him to play. I don't know. It's one of the most unique and weird scenarios I feel like we've seen in a long time. For a quarterback to get taken that high and just like we forgot about him for 2 years.
I don't know. The Lance stuff to me is just like unfortunate for the most part. I don't know. I on a Sam Monson for Pro Football Focus, he tweeted out stat last week, I think. Or maybe it was the week before, but basically the point is since 8th grade, like since he entered high school, Trey Lance has by now it's about 620 like live in-game reps throwing the ball, like 620-ish pass attempts. And that's including high school, college, NFL preseason, NFL regular season. That's nothing. I mean, there are guys who throw the ball more than 600 times a season in the NFL. Hell, in college football too. Like, we're seeing that more and more. I mean, maybe he would have always sucked, but there's a little part of me like, dude, you have barely played any football. Because the last time that Trey Lance played a full season of football, we didn't even know what COVID was, dude. That was 2019. It's pretty spectacular. Like, once you start piecing all together,
played one game in a big year.
And then he played one game in 2020,
and he didn't even look good. It was brutal.
No. So yeah, I don't really know what's next. But I do know this. I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of coaches like staking their job security on being able to develop him or not. No. I don't know if San Francisco is going to get back a package that they think is going to be worthy of giving him away, because
it's almost like if you don't play him, there's still the, like, if he doesn't play at all this year, someone's going to hold on to, like, I still deep down think the Jets almost did this last year, where it's like the less bad tape there is, the more you can try to sell somebody that it's worth trying to resurrect this guy.
Yeah. But it's hard to do that when you say Sam Darnold's had him on the backup. On the depth chart. So we'll see. Maybe Trey Lance is always going to suck, but I still would have liked to see him play and prove it. I just don't really know that we've learned anything about him really since like the 2019 season, because it's all gone so wrong for him in ways that he couldn't necessarily control. You know, you can't control getting drafted to the 49ers, who really have no intention of playing you year one. Can't control breaking your leg year two. Can't control Brock Purdy coming in and playing well enough where you have to make him the starter. So maybe he's cooked. I would assume that, like, just mentally bouncing back from all that has to be pretty tough. So he probably needs to go and just recollect and sit somewhere. But at some point, at some point, if you're going to actualize this, you got to play. So we're so far along from him playing that, or so far removed, I should say, that it just doesn't feel like a realistic opportunity he's going to get at this point.
Yeah, I think Brad Spielberger tweeted before, like, Minnesota does make a lot of sense. Like, Kirk's going to probably be, you want to sit behind a guy and, like, smart offense. No, you're not going to play this year. Kirk's durable. But, like, at the same time, eventually Minnesota's going to be in a situation where they need it. You know, the quarterback, like, that's a team, I guess. I have no idea what's going to happen there. Last two quick things here. One, your Falcons are one of the most interesting teams, obviously, on the Jets schedule, so it's a little bit more relevant than when I normally ask you about the Falcons. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Desmond Ridder coming out transparently, so I'm not that high on that. But, like, other than that, I really like this Falcons roster. Like, offensively, like, you should be able to do a lot. Defensively, like, we'll see. AJ Terrell's an awesome player. They've got some other spot pieces there. Jesse Bates is really good. Like, there's a lot of pieces there. Is this the most optimistic you've been in a little bit of time? And B, this will be a quick one. We did a Julio Jones to the Jets resurrection of his corpse for six games before they trade for somebody else. You know, maybe a little Julio in New York, just and Sammy Watkins, bring Jordy Nelson, bring all the whole band back together.
Wow. Honestly.
It looks pretty cool in all black.
I would try to take – if Julio got signed by the Jets, I would probably try to take a Sunday off just to go watch a game as a fan. He's, like, my favorite player since Mike Vick, probably. I love him.
He's better than AB. I'll stick agreed to that.
Less crazy, too. but going back to the Falcons question, I would say expectations is, like, I don't have really – any expectations or things that I would predict for this season. I just want to see some touchdowns. And I think that we might be able to score some touchdowns this year. Whether that's conducive towards winning games, I don't know. Because I've seen the Falcons score 40 points multiple times and still lose. So we'll see. We'll see, like, if that actually gets them across the finish line. But I really just need Desmond Ridder to be like, remember how bad Alex Smith was and then Jim Harbaugh got to San Francisco? And, like, Alex Smith was still not good, but you figured out, okay, well, we can kind of meme this up into getting, like, a 15-touchdown, 5-interception season. That's all I'm looking for from Desmond Ridder. I don't need you to light it up. Don't need a world beater. I just need – because I still trust Arthur Smith as, like, a play designer and a play caller. The shit's going to be open. Can you just hit it? That's what the biggest problem was last year with Mariota. And, like, if you look at Mariota's targets to Kyle Pitts, he just missed on, like, I think it was 56% of his targets to Kyle Pitts, like, just missed, which is
impossible to do.
It's almost impossible. Like legitimately, that's what it would be like if you or me went out there and just say, okay, let's give it a try. I don't think he's great. I personally would have taken Ridder in the second round. I never was like, yeah, maybe you could take him in the first round, but that feels like a huge leap to me. Second round felt more comfortable because I do think he has, and I've always thought, like, he has, like, some starter upside. Maybe one of those guys where if you put the pieces around him, he can just kind of drive the car at 50 miles an hour on the highway and get you to where you're trying to go. But I think if they get to a spot where, oh, you know, Bijan's hitting a little bit of a rookie wall, maybe Kyle Pitts or Drake London gets hurt, That would scare me because this whole thing is contingent on those guys staying healthy, being able to block it up front, and just having your playmakers back for the whole season, which they didn't have last year. So, look, just be post-terrible Alex Smith, cruise it, you know, take it easy, and then maybe next year we can start to really open it up and test him more as, like, a franchise quarterback. But for this year, I'm not asking for too much.
Yeah, last question here, and I will be – counting the Drake London is better than Chris Olave drum for the next decade. So
that's right.
I will be locked in every single Falcons game strictly based on my Drake London fandom. One team that's getting a little too much buzz, or one team people are talking about, they think is going to be a contender that you're not as high on. I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to redo that. But one team that's getting too much buzz maybe, or a team that people think is a contender that you're not quite as high on, and vice versa, a team that maybe isn't getting as much love this summer, that maybe they were a borderline playoff team that, or, you know, people think it's coming in seven games, you think it's a playoff team, or a team that's a wild card team you think can make a Super Bowl run. Is there one of each you kind of come to mind for you?
One that I've been thinking about where maybe it doesn't, or maybe I've been too low on them, is the Commanders, actually. And for me personally, I don't know how other people have been, receiving that team, but there's just been so much crap like off the field.
We forgot about the actual product.
I'm right. Sure. I forgot about the actual team, you know, and I honestly think that, you know, getting Dan Snyder out of there was good for everyone because now the focus can kind of get back to football as far as that team is concerned. And I know Monday night, the preseason game, I had a great time watching it, but there still is a caveat. Yeah, it's their offense versus the Ravens backups for the first half of the game. But it was a reminder to me, like, dude, they've quietly assembled a fucking crazy wide receiver room, dude. You know, Terry McLaurin, Dotson, he's looking like he could be a number one on a handful of teams. And Terry obviously is bona fide because he got paid. And now even guys like Diami Brown as your third wideout, you can get Antonio Gibson involved in that as well. I don't know how Sam Howell is going to perform, but I know he's got the targets at least to work with. And Eric Bieniemy is, you know, dialing it up as he seems to be able to do over the past couple of preseason games. Then maybe this could be a team that ends up being a little frisky, you know, down the, you know, as the season goes along. And the defense should still be good. I don't think Jack Del Rio is a great defensive coordinator, but the talent he has is undeniable. Like, the defensive line's crazy. They got guys in the secondary that can play. Even find Kim Curl in the seventh round a couple years ago. That's been a big fire. You add another cornerback this year in Emmanuel Forbes. So, like, that to me, in a way, is like the Jets offense, where the talent should be able to buoy like any coaching concerns that you might have. And on the flip side, that's a tough one.
Curtis Samuel, by the way, sleepy. Another option in Washington as well. He was awesome 2 years ago in Carolina, and then he got hurt, and we got paid. And then last year was actually decent.
Yeah. On the flip side, I don't know how many people think of like the Jaguars as contenders, but to me, I think they're not even guaranteed to repeat as AFC South champs. If Indianapolis can resolve this Jonathan Taylor situation, and like Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly get back into form, that should be one of the, if not like the best ground game in football with Anthony Richardson. And what makes me nervous about the Jaguars is, you know, you had a chance really to kind of beef up this pass rush in the offseason, and they were pretty complacent. I know that Trayvon Walker's got like all the skills and talent, but right now it doesn't really look like they have the right plan for him as far as like trying to make him.
I was gonna say, they just make him this like big, like Julius Peppers at the end of his career guy that like drops into coverage. Like, what are we doing? Like,
let him put his hand in the dirt and brush the passer. It's weird. Like, they have a very specific way that they want him to play football, but it might not be conducive to how he actually plays football best. And hopefully they figure it out, because I think that, he can actually be like a chess piece and one that's explosive for them. But the pass rush scares me. The linebacker situation is just okay. I don't think they took enough steps on defense to like actually cement themselves as AFC powerhouses. But you got Trevor Lawrence, you got Calvin Ridley, so they should be able to put up some points. But I think they could have done a little bit more to actually like solidify that status, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you on both those. Jags thing's weird. Like, if you really look back at how they got, even in the playoffs, the Ravens game was nuts. The Cowboys game was ridiculous. Like, it was like crazy wins. They beat Chris Streveler basically in prime time with the Jets. And then like the Chargers absolutely bottled that. And Trevor Lawrence threw four picks in the first half. They were down 30 points. If you get one first down as a Chargers team, like, again, you get credit because they did make the playoffs and they did do that stuff. But I love Doug P. Like, I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. I just feel like we kind of overrate one playoff win and like the fact that they didn't get like curb stomped against Kansas City, but like also Mahomes like died like mid first quarter. Yeah, so it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those context things where we're talking about Patriots defense before, like Patriots defense played Zach Wilson and Sam Ehlinger three times last year. Like, their DVOA got slightly inflated, based off of things like that. Teddy Bridgewater got in there for a game too. So I'm right there with you. And obviously you got a bunch of stuff out on Yahoo. Exemplist coming back. Anywhere else everybody could find you, although I'm assuming most people that listen to this pod already.
Occasionally I'll be on Brother from Another with Michael Smith and Michael Holly. doing stuff for them throughout the season. So maybe if you got Peacock, just check that show out, and I might be on there someday.
Right, there we go. Yeah, I've every streaming service under the sun because it's more expensive than cable. So why not? Why not get bent over by the big tech companies? Regardless, appreciate you hopping on as always. Again, obviously touched on in the beginning. We hope everything's okay with Corey Davis. Obviously walked away from football about an hour or so ago, and be back tomorrow. Brad Spielberg on the pod. Make sure you guys are checking out Charles' work, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.